anybody think about any questions they might have had on last week's lesson in Romans?
If not,
we're going to begin in Romans 8:28. It's good to see you back. Romans 8:28. Who will read 8:28 through the end of the chapter? Go ahead, Alan.
And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be comforted to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for all of us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you. So we're going to section this off, verse 28 through 30. And the first thing I want us to look at are some definitions in those verses. We are going to see in verse 28, we're going to see the called. That is an adjective that describes something or someone. In verse 29, we see foreknew. Time for God is different. He knows the beginning to the end. Let's go to Romans 9, verses 10 through 13. I'll read that. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. I used to look at that verse and be very perplexed. But then I realized that the word hated does not mean necessarily every time hated. Hated means preferred less. If we look in Luke 14, 25 and 26, let's look at that. Who will read that? Luke 14, 25 and 26. Okay. Yes, sir. So the way we use the word hate is not the way it's used here. The way we use the word hate, it's actual enmity, hatred. But the word here means preferred less or loved less. Yes. Any comment? Okay. In verse 29, we see the word predestined. And this means pre-established boundaries. So if I had the board right here, I'd just draw a big circle on it. So if you can imagine, use your imagination, there's a board here, and there's a big circle on it, and everything inside the circle are the boundaries that have been set. In verse 30, it is the called. Here is an it's an action word. It's a verb. Is he called? In John 3:16, who knows that by heart? Go ahead. That's right. So that none should perish. Yep, that's good. So none should perish. Let's go to Matthew 22:1-14. Matthew 22:1-14. Ethan, could you read that for us?
Justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Any questions? Any comments? We might be done early today. There are some who will say, and I'm not into necessarily talking about how wrong other denominations might be, but there are some who say that there will only be 144,000 enter the kingdom of heaven. There are also some who say that we are called, have no choice, we are predestined, and the word is not the same. God has decided who he will have in the kingdom and who he won't, and we have no choice. Everything is that happens is God's will, and we have no free will. And it goes against the verse that says, pray without ceasing. Why would we pray? If God's going to have his will, and everything is pre-established, it just doesn't work.
We see plenty of evidence in the Old Testament where God changed his mind.
Yes, he did. He did. Abraham. Yeah, that was pretty bold of Abraham to strike a bargain with God and negotiate. Well, if there are, what did he start at? 50 good people. Would you, where'd he go then? I think he ended up with 10, didn't he? I'm not sure I can teach class with that baby looking at me. She is paying attention. I wish she could talk. any comment?
Mark, I have a lot to say about that, but I don't need to get started. You will do a good job.
We're going to have time, I think. So God pre-established boundaries. God calls everyone to be within the boundaries. God foreknew who would humble themselves to his will and enter into the boundaries, referred to them as the called in verse 28. And God justifies and glorifies those who are within his boundaries. This is the kingdom of God, and we are in it, if we're in it. Any comment?
Yeah, I'll make one. I'll just throw a nice banner in everybody's mind.
Okay.
I have not read a book, but I read about it. And I'm sure of it, and yet I'm reluctant to go get it tomorrow or why. And it is a book written by somebody who I do not think is remotely Christian, but I could be wrong. I mean, no profession of faith in Christianity, I think, maybe. But anyway, the person has written a book called God is made in man's image. The reverse of what we read in Scripture. And I think the premise is an intriguing one. And not because of maybe what the book says. I'm going to go with what I think you could pull out from that title. And this is how it helps me when I hit these thorny things that are so puzzling sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
All I can understand is what a human being can understand. So I do try to make God into what I understand. That's because I'm a human. It doesn't work.
No.
Well, because I'm a human.
Right.
So what I have to keep telling myself when I hit one of these things like, you know, what does this mean? It sounds like it's this, it's that, is, okay, if I were God, I'd know.
Yes.
And then there is a song, we'll understand it better by
God. By.
So that one always just sort of helps. As long as we are human, and that's what we are,
mm-hmm.
We cannot comprehend completely all the mysteries of the universe and God. That's God. That's God.
Right. I have a feeling we'll be so amazed at the spiritual world when we finally see it.
What we can envision in our little finite brain.
Right. No, John.
Verse 28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together as good for those who love Him.
Yes.
We have K, this K, not here. Her help is
allowing us also to see God's work, God's goodness at work.
There's so much good coming out of this situation.
Yeah.
There are things that we, in our minds, look at as bad, not good. But yet, God causes those things.
Right.
You know, it's hard to grasp those things like that. And then, as we go on in verse 29, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. We keep in mind the spiritual aspect of this. Jesus is not the firstborn among many brothers, in the physical, but in the spiritual.
That's right.
We're all brothers to him, but he's the firstborn. He's our older brother.
Right. Yep, firstborn in the kingdom of God. I'm going to go with Sam, and then back to Herman, and then back to Joe. Thank you, guys. This is awesome. Go ahead, Sam.
I talked to other denominations or other people who are members of other denominations. A lot of them, you know, a lot of my talks today have been about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they always comprehend, you know, how something is or how what they appear to be. And sometimes I'll just have this point, like you said, we're not God.
Streets of gold.
Everyone understands other things that Rome demanded out of Christians and persecutions they put on Christians about so many different things. You read this with all of that in mind, you can almost put yourself where they're sitting when they hear this the first time and they get this letter from Paul.
And when we get a little further, that what you said will be more meaningful to us. John. Good.
Romans. Say it 55:8. I'm going to figure it out. What's Romans? I said Romans.
That's right.
Says, so my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways.
That's right.
This is the section as well.
Yeah. Forever is not something that is in our grasp. Okay, anybody else? Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now we're getting into a section where we will see some of the things that might have been going on that they were having to deal with. But that's an awesome statement. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do we ever think of that when we're in distress? Joe says yes. Anybody else think of that when they're in distress? Yep, good. That's a good one. There's another one. God, He will never forsake us or leave us. Anyway, verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, taking that at face value, here is God who gave his own son. And the way we talked about that last Wednesday, it was not easy. The scourging, the pain he went through, you know, God saw this. This is my beloved son. And God watched these things happen to him. So, he who did not spare his own son in that way, in particular, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, God, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? What does that mean to us?
That was the whole point of God allowing Jesus to die for us. What else could he have done to prove to us that he loved us and wanted us to be saved?
Couldn't be any more.
Absolutely.
And anybody that will give the limit, what else will they give? Won't they give us all things if they'll give us that? Won't they give us all things? I thought this about this, and I thought, well, all things. What does that mean? All things. You know, I start thinking about, and then I get sidetracked with health and wealth ministry or health and wealth. You know, but it says all things. But then when we get in line with God's will, what do we want? Really, what are we going to want? If he says, if you abide in me and I in you, and you say mountain, move into the ocean, it will. So I'm thinking about abiding. What am I going to ask God for if I am truly abiding? What am I going to want? I'm not going to want all things. It's kind of interesting how we go through life and we work and we have ambitions and we want, and then the closer we get to God, the more we align with God, the less we want. And it says, I will give you everything. Yeah, but, you know, I don't want it, it seems, when we get that abiding, that relationship. Any comment? Yes, Ethan.
About how when they first were in the land of the Amorites, they were playing all the if you read the story and find out that God knew that to show people that, you know, I could use you from nothing. So take these 300 men and go to defeat the city and go to defeat that, and then God is rewarded.
Yes. The lesson I learned from Gideon is we always need to give God the credit. Because at the end of that, it says that the reason, he explains that the reason he did that was because he didn't want Gideon to be able to say, we defeated them with our own might. So we always need to give God the credit for everything. Any other input? Sam. This man has done nothing wrong. And we are here because we deserve it. Showing repentance. So he recognized Jesus as, I think he recognized Jesus as Messiah. And he recognized his sin and was repentant. Any other comment? Are we ready? Class.
Okay, it says, who is he who condemns it is Christ, but Christ himself said, I came not to the world to condemn the world. However, let's look at it this way. I believe we, as we live righteously, the world feels condemnation because of the sin that's in them, because they're in the presence of someone that loves God and is living everything they can for Him. So, I don't believe that it's necessarily a spoken condemnation, but the life that Jesus lived and what He did is what condemns it.
I can see that, but I always look at that as though when he says, I didn't come into the world to condemn, I think he meant the physical world that he came to. When the verse talks about every knee shall bow before Jesus and recognize Jesus, I think that is the judgment. And when we bow our knee before Jesus at the judgment, some of us are going to be condemned. And somebody's going to do it.
The point I was making was the fact that people interact with us
right.
in a different way because they feel condemned because of the
That's right.
life that we are pursuing.
Yes.
That's where I was headed. With
yes, I understand. And you're right. That is an uncomfortable situation for them and us. Okay, moving on. You guys are talking too much. I'm just kidding. Okay. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Shall tribulation. Who wants to separate us from Christ? Who wants to do that? That's easy. Satan wants to do that. Does Satan have the power to do these things? Tribulation? Does Satan have that power? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? Does Satan have that power on this physical earth?
Yeah.
He does. That's right. So, looking at Mark, I was going to get into... Actually, I'm going to save the rest of this for next week. I thought I was going to have plenty of extra time. Thank you all for your participation. Any comments? Any comments about what we just mentioned about Satan bringing the distress and the trials upon us? Think about... Would Satan be here if God didn't want it? And is it a benefit in some way to have a trial? And so that's what we'll talk about next week.